Hello, I'm Hannah Wilder. We are here at Fairy to Bean Coffee Shop in San Antonio, Texas, and I'm currently speaking with...
Sissel.
Okay. Can you tell me about someone who has had a great influence on your life?
Did I actually ask? What did I think about that one? Hang on a second, let me think. A big influence on my life. My dad. He was a musician, and he was very, he divorced my mother when I was three, so he moved away, so I had the family I was living with, and then I had him, and he was so different. He showed an interest in what I did and what I thought. He made efforts to be sure I knew what I needed to know, like he taught me to swim. And he would talk to me about careers and why I might choose something. So it meant a lot to me. And also, he was just had a great sense of humor, and he was fun, and he liked to take risks. He was something of a bad boy. He had been in a Western swing band and had gone on the road with them. And he actually, like, how forthcoming can I be here in an adult kind of way? I grew up a hippie, and at some point I realized he had partied and done a lot more drugs than I ever thought about doing. And it was really kind of made me feel like, well, damn, I thought I was so cool, but he was like the definition of cool. And he could walk into any room, and everyone in there was just in love with him and would do anything for him. It was fascinating to watch. He's the second most charismatic person in my life. The other one was dangerous, so it was nice to see someone use charisma well. So that's my answer.
Okay. Can you share some important lessons you've learned in life?
The one I think that's hardest for me, and I still have to remind myself, is that it takes two people in a relationship. No matter how much I want it to succeed, if they don't, or if they're not willing to do what it takes, it's not going to succeed. And I'm used to wanting to fix everything I want to give me what I want in life, and with relationships I can't. So that and boundaries, which is related, and I wish I had learned earlier how good it was to have good boundaries, but I wasn't raised in a way that taught me that, so it took a while.
What is your proudest accomplishment?
I was on a jury for a child molestation case, and going into it, I was told, some people told me, you don't get a guilty verdict on those. You're going to find it really frustrating, and I did. I found it hugely frustrating and also heartbreaking because in between testimony, when we would take breaks, I would just go in the bathroom and cry. But it was so clear he had done it. And the little girl was so well-spoken and sincere and honest, and I wanted her to get justice. But I began to see that it was going to be really hard. So when we went to the jury room, we went around the table and voted, and there were five people voting not guilty. And there was a minister in there and somebody else and me. The three of us looked at each other like, okay, we have to fix this. And we just started working on everybody, and we convinced all five of them to vote guilty. And I found out later he had like a ton of other charges against him. He was so guilty it wasn't even funny. And so I felt really good that we sent him up and that girl saw that. That she testifying was very hard for her, but I think she got justice out of it.
Can you share how you would like to be remembered?
You know, as a Leo, I think about this a lot because we think about how people will think about us when we're not around. Most of the work I do is with my women's group, and I want to be remembered as someone who did everything she could to leave them strong and healthy. I'm giving women, including your mom, as much as I can of the stuff I know that will help the group continue. And that's how I want to be remembered.
Can you share an event, person, place, or thing with special meaning to you?
Is that number 7?
Yes.
Hang on. Event? Place. Okay. There's a place in Big Bend National Park called the Soto Vista. And it's a mountainside that is perfect for the little soto plants, which are like a cactus. There's a salt that comes up and then a bush at the top. And the wind is really high and just fierce there. And the leaves, you know, they shimmer because the way they shake in the wind. And there's thousands of them. And it's really my most magical place. Sometimes when I do magical work, which is part of my religion, in my mind I go there because there's just something about it.
Can you describe your religion, and what are some of your beliefs?
I don't know that I can describe my religion. I can describe what it is for me, but I'm in a religion. Paganism or goddess spirituality is really different for every person, and its definition depends on what the person defines it as. So for me, that's pretty complicated. Describe it, and what was the other part of the question?
What are some of your beliefs?
All right. Well, describing it, it's earth-based. It is intuitive. It involves magic. It involves ecstasy. It involves community. And exploring the ancestors more and more. And more and more, it's about the land for me. I'm kind of moving away from people around it and moving more toward nature with it. And the second part was,
what are some of your beliefs?
Beliefs. Oh, let's see. I believe the earth is holy. I believe, the main thing I probably believe is some of the people who practice what I do believe the spirit of Kuan Yin is out there floating around in the ether and we connect with it. I believe all of them are inside of us, and I actually don't tell people this, but I believe we're becoming the goddesses we sing about and worship all the time. As I sing about them, I become more like them. And they're all in my subconscious, and I think the subconscious is the most holy, direct connection to the sacred there is. And so I work a lot with the subconscious, with trance and hypnosis and things like that.
In what way do you practice your religion?
Well, I practice with groups, with ritual and singing and movement and ritual mostly, where we get together and there's a group experience, and the energy of that and the communion of that. All the major religions go to the Sangha for enlightenment. They go to a place where there are other people. And I think that is necessary. We hold each other accountable. We share kind of our struggles with the things we try to do to be authentic. And we learn from each other and help each other. But I also do a lot of solitary practice, and almost all my interactions with the land are solitary, and then with the land and the spirits of the land.
Have you ever had a profound spiritual experience? Can you tell me about that?
I've had so many that I'll just go to the first one. Before I had found my religion or even thought about the goddess really at all, I was thinking about going to get my master's in writing, and that I would have to go away to a school where everyone was from the East and went to big colleges and knew more than I did, really. I had faith in myself as a writer, and at the same time I had doubt. And I was trying to decide whether to do this or not, and I had a dream that I was standing on a cliff that came out to a point, like where under it there wasn't much. And at the end of it was a woman. She was cloaked in her hood was down. I couldn't see her face. And she held out one of her arms to me. Her other arm was behind her. And I walked into her arms, and she put her arm around me and took a sword out from behind her and cut off the end of the cliff. And we just began to fall toward the ocean, and it was really far away. And I was screaming and biting and kicking her, but she just held on to me as we fell. And I began to notice that there was a shore really far away, and we weren't falling straight down, we were falling at an angle. And I was looking at it thinking, we might make it to the shore. And then I thought, it's going to be close. But we did. She set me down with my toes right beyond the water. And when I woke up, I thought, I'm going to riding school. And they say in the goddess religion, when you dream about the goddess, that's when you become hers. And I really felt like that was true for me.
How does religion affect other aspects of your life?
You know, there are fewer and fewer other aspects of my life. Because so much of our religion is about being authentic to what we believe, and what we believe, what I believe, and I think many of you do what I do, changes. But at any moment, we're trying to be authentic to what we believe. And so it imbues everything. I think the place where I've had the biggest disconnect that matters to me is in my marriage, because my husband is not in this religion, and really he's like super supportive, like, yeah, you go do that thing, and I'll be waiting here at home when you come home. And he's happy for me to do it, and he's bored to tears if I tell him about it, and it's important to me, so it's hard for me that it bores him. Sometimes I make him listen anyway. But, yeah, I guess that's my, and the rest of my life, it made it very hard to work in a corporation. I know one time they were going to build a cement plant on a wetland. And I thought, if they go forward with this, I'm going to have to send everything to the other, there were college students fighting them. It was a couple of colleges had taken their ecology students and said, this is your project for the year, stop this thing. And I thought, if they move forward with this, I'm going to have to send all of our documentation to them. I can't let this happen. But as it happened, the EPA stopped them, and I didn't have to do that. But I faced things like that in the corporation to a lesser degree a lot.
How have your beliefs changed as your life has progressed?
Golly. I think the typical arc when you come into goddess religion is you walk in, all the women are just phenomenal and shiny, and you are overwhelmed that you have finally found a place where you fit and belong and are loved for yourself, and that the goddess loves you also, which in my case, the goddess was the only shot I had at having a mother. I mean, you know, it was her or nothing. And then she moves in and begins asking things of you, like that you be authentic, that you be truthful, that you be strong, that you look at the places in your life that are not working and do something about it, that you be honest with yourself, that you get your priorities, that you move away from the overculture, which most of us were somewhat moved away. She moves you a lot further away. And so it all starts changing. One of my favorite quotes is, go ahead, light your candles and ring your bells and call to the goddess, but be careful, because the goddess will come and she will lay you on an anvil and beat you and beat you until she turns dross into gold. And sometimes it's felt that way, although there's also much joy in it, especially in the other women in my circle.
Can you tell me about the role women play in your religion?
Yeah, women are about the only role in my religion. That's not entirely true. I'm in other groups that also embrace the male principle. Now, the other groups I'm in that embrace the male principle are in a period of change in which I don't know what is going to happen, but male and female are beginning to have no meaning. And God and goddess, as a result, I don't know where they will end up with meaning, because we have so much respect and making place for transgender and other ways of defining ourselves, and really just actually throwing the binary out entirely. So those groups I don't know where that's going to end up. But in the one I'm in, women came into it because it was women only. Some of them had been damaged by men and could not get in touch with religion if men were any part of it at all. Some of us felt, my own take on it was, there is a place for the male principle in it, and I don't connect to it very much. I am totally dedicated to the goddess, and my insight has come from her, and that's just, I'm her priestess, and that's the way it is. But it is totally empowering of women, and that's one of the best things about it.
Have you ever had a negative experience through religion? Can you tell me about that?
You know, of all your questions, this is the one that I thought about the most. And what I came down to was this. Truthfully, I have not had any negative experiences from my religion. They've all been from when I put my faith in someone associated with that religion and I was wrong. They were narcissistic, they were selfish, they were in it for the wrong reasons. Sometimes they were just human and hadn't done much work, but they looked super shiny, so it didn't show for a long time. But my religion itself has never, ever, ever let me down, ever.
Have you ever received prejudice for your religion, and can you tell me about that?
So, yes, and I think it is part of the religion that we receive prejudice. I think authentic people threaten other people who are not authentic. It asks them to look at their life, but I don't ever ask that. Most of the witches I know do not challenge anybody, but just by being who and what we are, people are challenged, and they project, and I think it's how we ended up burnt in previous, you know, decades and centuries. I'm very clear that there would be prejudice against me, and I, at this stage of my life, I don't much care. Now, if we keep going down the road we're going and the Nazis take over, I would probably live to regret that, but for now, now, when I was in the corporation, I was more careful. But now, if people don't like what I am, the women are so fabulous. If you know them, I would hope that if you found out they were a witch, you would rethink what you thought a witch was, because they're the best people I know, you know? So yes, there's prejudice, but I think it's our job to take that on and be authentic anyway.
What would you want someone outside of your faith to know about your religion?
There is no devil in our religion. There isn't one. And we have a lot of love. It isn't usually mushy love, but it is deep love and regard for the things that matter. Even if it breaks our hearts, we're willing to do that. And we are fascinating and worth knowing, but probably not if you're not honest with yourself.
Thinking about future generations and knowing they may hear this recording, is there any wisdom or advice you would like to share with them?
This is the second one I thought most about. The one thing, there are many things, but the one thing is, anytime anybody wants you to do something, unless you trust them implicitly, like, and have reason to trust them, you should be asking what they gain by you being different, or by criticizing you, or by wanting you to change. Politicians, teachers, anybody. If they, and I suggest you get in touch with your instincts and follow it. And if your instinct says there's a wrongness, stop right there and do not take on the shadow they're throwing at you. It's their shadow. Give it back.
So that's going to conclude this interview. Thank you for being here and answering the questions.
You're very welcome.